Elijah confronts Ahab. It's not going to rain for three and a half years. Wow, what a wonderful thing God had told him to deliver. But Elijah needed to be strengthened to be able to fight this battle with Elijah and so with Ahab. So Elijah is sent immediately. Notice it says in verse 2, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said, "Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith." So God is preparing him, but the first thing he says is, "I want you to leave. Now that you've taken this public stance, it's not going to rain. I'm going to have you go out into the wilderness, and I want you to leave and basically hide." Now, this didn't probably make a lot of sense to Elijah. He didn't understand what was going on. But in this step of school, the first big step he was learning to do, he was learning to have faith and obedience. Trust and obey go together in the Bible. There are a lot of things in the Bible that are sort of twins. We used to call them Siamese twins, but that's not politically correct anymore, so we call them conjoined twins now, all right? But there are some things in the Bible that there always just seem to be connected. Faith and obedience. Faith and trust. How can you say, "I'm trusting God, I'm gonna have faith in God," and then not trust Him when He speaks? And so he says, "I want you to go out, and I want you to go by this brook, a Cherith, that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." And so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So the first step was, leave, do it now, just go. And the second thing he says, leave all your resources behind, and I'm going to feed you there. I'm going to feed you supernaturally. And you know, that's one of the big things as we begin to serve God. In our life, it's always been that I did it with my own two hands. I could see the road before me. I could understand in a human logical way how this was all going to work out. But in this case, leave everything that you already sort of know what's going on. Go out here by the brook, sort of tent out there, and then I'm going to feed you supernaturally. This water that's going to come down here, you're just going to drink of the water. And then I'm going to have the ravens drop off bread every day for you in a way that you've never seen before. In the morning there'll be bread, in the evening there will be flesh. And God was going to feed him there. Literally, he was going to be living by faith. He was going to be trusting God. Go out here. There's no store around. There's no check coming. There's no particular job. You don't have a bank account. But I'm going to send a delivery for you, and I'm going to provide for you every morning and every night. Water, bread, and meat to eat. And so Elijah went over by that river, and as he sat by that brook Cherith, he began to learn the song that we had up here. Mrs. Butts, if you could step up here. And I think he began to sing the song to his own heart. And the song is the one that we were reminded of tonight. Would you sing it with me afresh, please? Here's Elijah. "I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worries are vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm." Just stay there. Well, the story goes on, doesn't it? He got there every morning. The water was there every morning. The bread was there every evening. The flesh was there. He would sing his little song, have his prayer. But what does it say in verse 7? Look at verse 7 afresh. In verse 7 it says, "And it came to pass after a while the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So now we couldn't stay there. There was no water. And yet God had said, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to provide you something to drink. And all of a sudden, the brook dries up. Are we going to trust God? It seemed like I stepped out and I trusted God, and that first step was pretty good. God, I obeyed him. But now there's no water in the brook. It's empty. And so God said, I would like to remind you of our song that we're singing tonight. I care not today what the morrow may bring, if sun or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living if in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm safe, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. So Elijah said, I'm going to trust you, God. You've taken care of me so far. Elijah didn't kill me. You brought me out. I've enjoyed going out for a little vacation. It's been nice to get away from all the other stuff. And Lord, you sure make good bread. The water's been sweet. And Lord, I know you're going to take care of me. So God said, okay, you pass high school. It's time for you to go to college. And so God moves him on. Look at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Well, he's going to learn a new lesson with faith. The first step was to obey God even when he couldn't understand. Just to obey him by faith. Now the second step is faith and humility. Faith and humility. It was one thing to go down and see the bread drop from the air and see the flesh that was provided every evening dip in the water. And you sort of could see how it's going to work. Just obey God and he took care of me. But now God said, I'm going to feed you by somebody. It's just a widow and she's going to be feeding you, the man of God. You're going to have to learn humility. I can remember when I was a young preacher, and one of the hardest things for me was to start getting a paycheck from Westside Baptist Church. The first few years, my wife and I, we worked at North Houston Baptist. We taught in the school. My wife taught piano lessons and all the different things. But then my wife had a baby, and then I quit teaching over the Christian school, and now it was time for the church. And I can remember it just seemed so to have money coming from the church that we had started. By faith, we took $25 a week at first. And then it was $35, and then it was $55, and up to $100 a week the Lord was providing. He said, well, Pastor, wouldn't you expect that? Well, I tell you what, it was humbling. I remember the first time when I was an assistant pastor, I was getting ready to take a vacation, go home, hadn't been home in a while, and everybody knew we were leaving after the church service. We were going to drive across Indiana, Ohio, back to New York, where I was from. And just as we left, one of the men came up, and he said, Pastor Stephen, take me my hand. He said, Pastor Butts, hope you have a good trip, and he just shook it really. And when I pulled away, there was something in my hand, and there was three $20 bills. I thought, what is this? You left this in my hand. I never had anybody give me what they call a green handshake before. That was pretty nice, though, Pastor Stephen. He said, Pastor Butts, God just told me to give that to you. There was no money. You just got a dirty old greasy handshake. I'm sorry. All right. Okay. But that, I remember going back to my wife and I said, we don't need this. But you know, by the time we got back from the trip, we'd had some mechanical problems. Guess what? God had already provided for us. And it was hard for me to have somebody just walk up and give me money like that, and to see us paid out of the church offerings that people were giving. I'd always put money in the offering. I'd never gotten money out of the offering. That was a big step for me because, you know, I was a man and I'd take care of myself and take care of my wife and my kids by myself. And, you know, Christians, that's just me. This is part of learning to trust God, is to be humble enough to let God feed you the way he wants you to feed it. And so Elijah is going to get fed by a widow. Of all things, the man of God's being fed by a lady that can't even feed herself. That's a sort of embarrassing. But God was teaching him how to walk in humility instead of pride. And so let's just look on in the verse. He said, Lord, are you sure? Are you sure this is what you really want in my life? He said, let's remember our song, Elijah. I care not today what the morrow may bring. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm safe in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and I feel no alarm. And I think it's interesting in this story, God was putting two people to school now. Let's read on. He wasn't just working on Elijah, he was working on the widow. Isn't that just like God? God has so many dimensions when he's working on somebody. And so it says here in verse 10, Elijah rose, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, by the way, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but I only have a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and then what? Die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. I'd like to teach you a song, ma'am. Living by faith. God took care of me next, all the water and all of my bread, and he fed me at his table, and he's brought me here, and he hasn't brought me here this far to not feed us both. So could I teach you a song? I care not today what the morrow may bring, if sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith. He's getting bolder. It works, ma'am. I've lived it. From all harm safe in his sheltering arm. We're living by faith and we won't feel any harm. She said, are you sure? She said, go do it. So let's see what happened. Elijah said, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. And make me therefore a little cake first. You know, the first time I read this story when I was a young Christian, I thought, he's pretty selfish. But you know, God is working here, isn't he? Bring it unto me, and after me, make for thee, and then make for thy son. And thus saith the Lord God of Israel, if you'll do that, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. He's learning humility. She's learning the first steps of obedience. And God is teaching him and her, by faith and humility, I'm going to supply. Notice two things that in this daily provision. First of all, in 16, we see it says, the barrel of meal wasted not, and the oil did not fail. There was sufficient provision. There was enough. When God says, I'll take care of you, there will be enough. He wasn't starving. He wasn't a skeleton. We joke about Mrs. Ward has up in her science room a skeleton that she has there for science. They've named him Jeff. When I'm touring around with people in the school, I said, that's the student that's been standing in that corner until he's going to behave, and he won't behave. Elijah wasn't a skeleton. The widow didn't get skinny. The son didn't die. The provision was sufficient. God will take care of you. When I was a boy, my mom bought me a record. Some of you don't know what records are. It's this little round thing that goes round and round, and you put a needle on it, and it sings out songs, okay? And she brought me a record, Norma Zimmer. You may know Norma Zimmer. She was part of the Champagne Singers for Lawrence Welk, but she had a religious record, and she sang, "Be not dismayed. God will take care of you." And I can remember as a young Christian man listening to that record as I would go to sleep many times a night. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. And we could go on and sing. And I remember learning that as a young Christian boy, just listening to that song and just thinking as I'd go to sleep, you know, I think God was working on me way back when I was 14 and 15 years old, putting it in my ear, my God would take care of me. Living by faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I will take care of sufficient provision. And you notice another thing in verse 16. He didn't fail, it didn't fail, it didn't fail. Many days. We learn from the story about 2.5 to 3 years. The whole story is about 3.5 years. So at least a couple years or more, that lady would stick her hand down in that barrel and there was always a little more. A little more meal. She'd go and she'd just keep pouring out, and there was always just a little more oil. There was always a little more. I like to take a toothpaste tube and get everything out of it. Do you like to squeeze everything you can out of it? Matter of fact, just this week I came to the end of a toothpaste tube, and I was thinking about this as I was getting ready to. That tube, I've used it all week, and I was getting ready to throw away on Monday, and I still brushed my teeth out of it this morning. Man, that's pretty greedy. I mean, that's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, get in the last. But can you imagine having a toothpaste tube that you squeeze for 2.5 years? And it just kept coming out every day. The provision was sufficient, and the provision was long. God provided protractedly. God can take care of you as long as you need it. But he had to learn this lesson of humility, didn't he? To let God feed him through a widow. And sometimes God will do that in our life. He'll put us in circumstances that we would not choose, and God just takes care of us. Maybe he puts you flat on your back, and God's just going to have to do it. Maybe he takes your job away. Maybe your car is gone, and you're going to have. But God says, I will trust, I will take care of you. Just trust me, trust me. And Elijah is being taught obedience once again. Let's go on in the story in verse 17, please. So Elijah's getting pretty good at this story. He's learning to live by faith. But there's another big step of faith he needs to learn. Look at verse 17. It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, everything's going so great. Oh, that barrel's not wasting. That oil's pouring out. The water's there. We're enjoying day by day. Months and months have passed by. But the son of the woman, of the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. What does that mean? He died. Now, every day he'd been singing after they get their little meal and all the stuff they were saying, living by faith. But all of a sudden, the son dies and the widow says, you can have your song. Here we've been serving God, and what is this? My son dies. I don't understand why my son would die. That doesn't make a bit of sense. And so now he's learning faith in an impossible situation. Or can we put it this way? Faith that doesn't have any doubt in it. Boy, I'd like to believe that I have this faith, but I'll tell you what, we say we have faith, but maybe you're like Dr. Bob Sr. years ago when he was starting Bob Jones University. People said, boy, you've got so much faith. They said, they aren't in my office when I'm pleading with God. They're at my office when I'm saying, where's the food? Where's the money? Where's all the bills going to be paid? So I just know God says I'm supposed to trust, and I step out there by faith, and somehow when I stick my foot out there, God is right there each time. Amen? But sometimes we don't feel like it in our gut. How's God going to take care of me if I step out? This seems impossible, and I want you to see this woman of Zarephath, this widow. She wasn't as far along, but she was going to learn some of this lesson too. Verse 18, she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee? O thou man of God, art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Boy, she was pretty unhappy. What did I do? All I did was try to help you. I got hooked up with you. We started down this road, and now my son is dead. I don't understand. Did you come to judge me for some sin in my past? Or did you just come now? You were just coming to tease me a little bit and lead me down this road. And I imagine Elijah, you know, his first reaction is, I just trusted God too. Ma'am, I didn't kill your son. I don't think I was sent here like this. And yet God's working in Elijah to have confidence in him. And look in verse 19. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, carried him up into the loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And Elijah cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn, by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come upon him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came upon him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child, brought him down out of the chamber into the house, delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. Well, Elijah has a catastrophe. The widow said, my son is dead. You're a man of God and you've led me into this? What have I to do with thee? What is this? I don't understand. And you know, Christians, there's going to be a lot of times in your life when you're walking by faith that you come to what seems like a box canyon, a dead-end road, no way out but up. That's, for a brand-new Christian, a pretty big step. The widow here was at the end of her wits. Her son was dead. And Elijah did the right thing. Elijah's response was, give me your son. Could I say to you, we need to take our problem and give it to God. Give me your son. And he took the son and he put him on the bed and he brought him before God. And this is where our faith is going to meet the road. Amen? And I think God was just saying to Elijah, remember the song I taught you? I care not today what the morrow may bring, if sunshine or shadow or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of your worry is vain. Living by faith, it's easy to sing when the sun's not dead. But I don't understand, God. Are you sure? I'm living by faith. If you say so, here it is, God. Have you ever been in that circumstance where you just didn't know what to do next? You know, God was training Elijah. He's getting ready to meet Jezebel. Ha ha. He's getting remade. 450 prophets of Baal. He's going to get on his knees and pray, and fire is going to come down from heaven and lick up 12 barrels of water. And God's going to teach him to do the impossible. It's not a show. It's not a trick. It's walking by faith. Obeying God, he will take care of you. These are big things. Give me the problem. He took it to God. He confessed his own inability. God, I don't understand. We just came down here and she's helped me like she, and now her son is dead. God, it's in your ball court. That's a pretty good place to be. When you get to that place, only God can get the glory. What was the response? God did the impossible. He laid on him, prayed over him. God sent his breath back into his body. He was revived. And I imagine Elijah, as he saw the boy, he said, I care not today what the morrow may bring, if sunshine or shadow or rain. Come on in here. Lord, he's alive. Your son is alive. Only God could do that. How could we ever doubt God? He's the God of the impossible. Why do we doubt God? He's getting ready for the battle. In his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith. And I feel no alarm. The Lord heard him. Do you ever wonder if God's hearing you? I don't understand God. But he said, God, I know that you care. Do something. What was the lady's response? Look at verse 24. The woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. Could I say, she just gave him his graduate degree. He's been to high school. He's been to college. He's now got his master's or doctorate or whatever you are. And she says, you have successfully graduated. You are a prophet of God, and truth is in your mouth. He's ready to move on. Amen. He has learned faith and obedience. He has learned to trust God and just do what God says. He's learned faith and humility. And then he's learned faith and no doubt. And now he's ready for grad, to get out of grad school and get out in life and fight the fight for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you notice it says in verse 1, chapter 18, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord comes to Elijah, and he's in the third year, and he says, now go show yourself to Ahab. Now you're ready to go. And I will answer your prayer, and there's going to be rain. And we know the story. I think most of us know the story. He's going to end up atop this mountain, and all kinds of neat things are going to happen. And Elijah is going to bring down Ahab and Jezebel, and there's going to be a new king, and all kinds of neat things are going to happen. And God's kingdom is going to be greatly restored. Ahab, the nasty king that he was, nasty wife that she was, God's going to clean it all out. But he had to get his man ready for the battle. And I think as Elijah got ready to go, he said, okay, Mrs. Zarephath widow, goodbye, son. God's done a lot of things. He's taught us a lot of things. And she might have said to him, I'm so proud of you, man of God, man of truth. Before you go, can we have a word of prayer? He said, let's pray. Trust God. God's going to take care of you, Elijah. I know. She said, let's just sing our song one more time. I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or... They were confident now, weren't they? No doubt. They're ready to go. Living by faith. I wonder what God is teaching us tonight. Trusting, confiding in his great love. from all harm safe in his sheltering arm. I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Listen, tonight, when God says obey, have the faith to obey. When God says, I'm going to take care of you, it may be in a way that you never dreamed. Learn to let God take care of you. Be humble enough to let God take care of you. And then when you get to the end of the road and you feel like you've done everything you should and you have no understanding, you've obeyed and you've humbled yourself, and it seems like the devil's winning, don't doubt. Don't doubt. Quite an interesting story, isn't it? I hope every time you hear that song, you'll remember Elijah, a man that learned to walk by faith. I have learned in my life dozens and dozens of times over and over again that when God brings me to the end of myself, to extremity, it's a neat place to be. To step back and watch God and see what He's going to do. I sing this song to myself sometimes in my office. Sometimes I sing it to my wife. Sometimes we sing it go down the road. I care not today what tomorrow may bring of such hyperventilating. Okay, yes. Trust in God and His great love, from all harm safe in His sheltering love. I feel no alarm. If you serve God, you've got to walk by faith. There is no other way. Hebrews 11:6. It is impossible to please God without faith, but we must come to Him and believe that He is, and that He's the provider of those that trust in Him. Graduate school. Congratulations, Dr. Elijah, you pass. You're ready to serve. I often wonder when we bring messages like this, who's ready to go to school this week? Last week I preached on Sunday morning what to do when it was midnight. I've had four people say, why did you bring that message? Because I've had a midnight this week. Maybe you've had a midnight this week. Maybe you're going to step out and just going to have to obey God in a way you've never thought you would before. Maybe you're going to have to humble yourself and let God take care of a way that you wouldn't like. Or maybe you're going to come to a box canyon you can't figure your way out anyway but look up. Faith is the answer. Let's bow our heads in prayer.